The reading is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 and 4. Today our focus is on the sadness and celebration. Life contains both, but our ultimate joy is in the Lord. Chapter 3, verses 1 and 4, in page 616 on your Old Testament. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to mourn and a time to dance. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Now may the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Today's verse from Ecclesiastes 3 is very close to last Wednesday's verse, as we're focusing our whole Lenten journey here on Ecclesiastes 3. Today's is very close to last Wednesday's. Last Wednesday's was, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. Weeping and laughing on Wednesday. And here on Sunday, we're mourning and dancing. Two very close subjects. When Pastor David and I met to do our sermon retreat earlier in the year, we talked about how we were going to divide this and what that might look like. And so for the Wednesday message with respect to weeping and laughing, we look to the man who was possessed by many demons, which is no laughing matter, right? As a matter of fact, we expanded that to not just think about being possessed by a certain demon where you talk in voices, but that those demons can come in many forms. Depression, addictions, temptations, worry, fear, all of those types of things can be placed in our heart by Satan and possess us. And so that message focused upon how we are empowered in the hope to, again, laugh with joy as we tell Satan, no, and get behind me, Satan, and that Christ is risen indeed, hallelujah. That was Wednesday. Today's theme focuses more upon the grief process. And the grief process is that season of sadness, possible depression. It affects us emotionally, physically, even spiritually. It's a time possibly of crying and darkness within. Mourning is the biblical word. And so often grief can catch us by surprise. We may even think to some degree that something's wrong with us, and that should not be the case, because grief is a normal and natural response to any significant loss. And though we usually think about grief being connected to the loss of a loved one and the aftermath, actually, grief can occur with any sort of significant loss, meaningful loss. I recall a man who had been going with a young lady for some 5 years, and she suddenly broke it off. He grieved in his heart for almost a year. I remember the woman who was really anticipating a certain job. She was just salivating over having this job. She was educated, geared in that direction. She was very hopeful. She didn't get it, and she went through a personal time of grief. I recall another young man in San Antonio who worked for the railroad, and he was in between cars one day, and he slipped and fell underneath a car, and it cut off one of his legs. And so for many years, he grieved that loss. Or here's one maybe that many of us can identify with. When I was a child, we had a little chihuahua, one of those little bitty tiny ones. And, her name was Sissy, and Sissy got out in the road and got ran over. I remember as a child crying for a long time, grieving her loss. Again, grief is a normal, natural response to any significant loss. And though today we're going to apply it to that grief process of losing someone who is significant in our life, you can apply the biblical principles that we're talking about today to any of those losses. So here we go. After the reality of a loss of a loved one has sunk deep within our hearts, there can be this tendency for pain to pitch its tent right there in the midst of our heart. For the time being, or for a stretch of time, life just doesn't seem to be as good as it was. Work and daily chores, simple things take so much more energy. Appetites are low. We feel like we're in the blues all the time. We feel like it's a cloudy day most days. And so often oversleeping, or even the reverse of that, insomnia, can crowd in. Sometimes people can even get into a sense of despair and not even want to live themselves anymore. There was a Catholic priest in the 16th century. His name is St. John of the Cross. And he referred to this time of grief and mourning as the dark night of the soul. And that dark night of the soul can be a long, drawn-out season whereby most of the time a person wants to spend their time just dragging around, weeping and mourning, maybe on the outside, but more so even on the inside. Or it can be relatively a shorter season, but it feels long because it's so intense. And it's characterized by dryness in the soul, loneliness in the heart, and a sense of lost direction. You know, no one can put a timeline on your dark night of the soul. For some, it could be weeks, some possibly months, and others, it can indeed be years and years. And it can actually go on too long, particularly when it begins to paralyze and rob a person of the life that God intends for us to live. I knew of a woman whose husband died in his early 50s. Every time I visited this woman, or every time she was in a group of people, she would bring his name up and she would begin to cry. She would begin to hurt and to moan and visibly be quite upset. And this is a normal type of thing, but we're talking about the fact that 25, 30 years had gone by. And so there was plenty to anguish over. There was plenty to weep and to grieve over. It was a dark night of the soul, a very long dark night of the soul. But there can come some times when it's too long of a season that affects us then emotionally, spiritually, and physically. There's an old adage that says, go there, but don't stay there. Go there in our grief, visit our grief, and we may visit it a number of times during a day or during a week, or as that event leaves us in terms of distance, it may come up from time to time. It may cause us to weep and to cry again and again. So go there, venting and wailing, but don't allow Satan to plant roots whereby we will not go on with the abundant life that God intends for us to live. When I was in college, I knew of a family who lost a college-aged child in a car wreck. I was friends with this young lady who died in this car wreck. And I realized the painful stories of people who have lost children. And the loss of a child is a very unique type of grief. And in that unique type of grief, because it reverses the roles, parents are not supposed to bury their children. I believe that one hardly ever forgets. If you ever forget a grief, this is one that never gets forgotten. And possibly we don't want to forget or even maybe get over. And I get that. Yet in some cases, there can be some terrible collateral damage to other family members. In this particular case, the dad forgot in a way. He didn't forget, but he forgot in a way that he had two other children who needed him. But he was so mired down in his own personal grief over the loss of his daughter that he wouldn't allow that. The family ended up imploding. This dad had an affair with a woman who was, half his age. He and his wife divorced. The eldest son ended up taking his own life. May we go there in our grief, in our mourning, in our sadness, but don't allow Satan to keep us there. Go there, but don't stay there. How many of us are appreciating the readings and the stories that are being told? Oh, my goodness. We had to do a reprint on this. And so if you don't have one, if you're not walking through the stories that are shared by many of you in our Lenten devotional, we do have extras. So pick one up and use it on a daily basis. Those from this past week, The ones that focused upon the subject from Wednesday, the one about, one for today, mourning and dancing, the one about weeping and laughing, those stories are super powerful in this devotional for this week. Potentially powerful, so powerful that, my goodness, inspiring. And so many of these stories remind me that there is a time of grief, but there is also a time to stop grieving so hard. I didn't say stop grieving, but to stop grieving so hard, to let go and to let God, to trust in the words of God, the promises of God, that even in the valleys of the shadows of death, He will lead us through this and beyond. So that there becomes a sense of a resurrection side of the story as well. So that Jesus wins instead of Satan winning. Some years ago, I was visiting with a person who lost someone. It's probably 2 or 3 years ago. And as I was visiting with this person, they shared with me that life is now getting good again. He said, not as good, but it's getting good. I was so encouraged and inspired that this family was continuing to work through this grief, work through the dark night of their soul so that death and the devil does not have the final day and the final say, but that the resurrection does. Those resurrection words are planted all the way back in Psalm 30, which says, weeping, going down, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And the kind of night that we're talking about is not a 12-hour night, not that 12-hour dark night of the soul, but it's the kind of timeline that is between you and God, but it continues to let go and to let God, turning to God and trusting Jesus, that He is the light that shines in our darkness. He is the hope in our struggles, and He is the peace in our storm. So that one day, maybe not today, one day we might be able to again laugh and dance. Marlon Grona's funeral was this past week. The son of Kermit and Audrey, brother to little sister Brenda. In Marlon's service, we did what we almost always do here at Holy Ghost Lutheran Church as a way of the grieving process. We remembered Marlon. We remembered Marlon, and some of that remembering caused pain in our hearts, caused tears in our eyes. And why? Because he meant something to us. Why? Because he will be sorely missed. And so as we remembered bits and pieces of Marlon's life, it caused us to grieve. But we also know that Marlon could be a character on occasion. And some of that can cause us to chuckle and to laugh in our hearts about some of the joy that he brought in our lives, because he also brought joy in our lives. And I noticed that when we told Marlon stories, that people in the congregation were laughing, and even family members were smiling as well. And that somehow, some way, God takes that grieving and that chuckle in our heart, and he built us in such a way, he designed us in such a way to give us these emotions and to blend them together to continue to bring healing upon our hearts as we remember and cry, as we remember and laugh. God bless you in that continuing remembrance. But you know, we didn't just remember Marlon, because we gathered as a family of faith for a specific purpose, not just to remember Marlon, but to remember the promises of God in Christ Jesus, that He is the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in Him, though we die, yet shall we live again. And whoever lives and believes in Him will never die. And so it's not about us being remembered, it's about us solidly standing on the ground of Jesus Christ, that He carries us through our burdens and our sorrows as we bring those labors to Him again and again and again. The day after Easter Sunday, anybody know what that day is called? Easter Monday, right? Easter Monday, yeah. In days past, it's been called the Day of Laughter. The Day of Laughter. There was a monk, and the monk's name has been lost in history. Don't even have the exact date of when this monk introduced this, but it was called the Day of Laughter. Because as the monks were gathered together on Easter Monday morning, and they were in their cubicles, they were in their solitude and silence, this one monk just began laughing. He began laughing, and all the other monks were offended. And so they got up and they came over to him in monk style and said, "What are you laughing about?" And he said, "It was all a big trick. It was the best joke ever played. The devil buried Jesus, and the devil thought he had won. But Christ had the last laugh. And so this day must be a day of laughter." And so in some Christian traditions, it is all still known as the Day of Laughter. And many times in these churches, they tell jokes and pull pranks. Because Jesus wins, we can have some joy and some laughter and some lightness in our hearts. And somehow, some way, it seems that when the laughter engine gets started, it sort of starts to do something to the feet. Does anybody remember a particular show by the name of Northern Exposure? 1990s. And in this one particular episode, I encourage you to Google it. Google it and check it out. I know it's old school stuff, but this particular one is with Ruth Ann and Ed. And it was Ruth Ann's birthday, and she was turning something like 70 or 80, some young age like that. And there was another young man, his name was Ed, and he was like 30 years old. And Ed wanted to get his friend Ruth Ann something very personal for her birthday. And so he thought and he pondered and he thought and he pondered the whole episode, the whole 45, 50 minutes. And finally, at the end, he came up with the idea. And so he takes Ruth Ann on this little journey. They go out in the country. They get to this spot that overlooks a beautiful lake, high mountains. And Ed says, "This is what I got you for your birthday." And Ruth Ann says, "Well, what is it? It's a beautiful place, but what did you get me?" Ed says, "I bought you a grave for your birthday." She says, "You bought me a grave for my birthday, did you?" He says, "Yes. Do you like it?" And Ruth Ann, and you have to certainly know the character of Ed. Ruth Ann, in great appreciation in her heart for the intentions of Ed, said, "Yes, I do. I like it a lot, Ed." And then she said this, "Do you know what I want to do now?" He said, "What?" She said, "Let's dance on my grave. It's an opportunity of a lifetime, would you not say?" And so as the episode closed, there he and she were dancing on her grave. May we weep. May we grieve. May we mourn and cry our hearts out in our losses. May we go there again and again, but don't stay there, so that we may yet enjoy the abundant life that God intends for us, and that we too may still laugh and dance, possibly even on our own graves. Amen.